Houston, Tranquility Base here. The Chameleon has landed.
Welcome to Novell Open Audio, the podcast that connects the Novell user community with what's going on in and around the Novell universe. I'm your host, Ted Hager, and this week we see the arrival of SUSE Linux 10.1, which is freely available at opensuse.org and from various mirror sites around the world. There are a couple items to note about this release. First, it's the first incremental version of SUSE Linux that has been developed up from its predecessor under the complete interaction and involvement of the OpenSUSE project community. Second, it is this version of SUSE Linux that the next round of SUSE Linux Enterprise products will be based. Those are all coming out this summer. There's a lot more about this release, but rather than me talking on about it, let's bring you an interview here with Michael Loeffler out of the SUSE offices in Nuremberg, Germany. And we go now to our senior Linux distribution release correspondent, Aaron Quill.
Hi, this is Aaron Quill. Today I'm here with Martin Larsach from our SUSE division. Martin, good morning, or afternoon, I guess, for you.
Yeah, for me it's a little bit later, yeah. Good morning.
Today we're going to talk about SUSE Linux 10.1 and a new release that's actually going to be posted today. Is that correct, Martin?
Yes, it will be today on the FTP servers for download, and we also offer torrent files for faster download.
What's the difference between this SUSE Linux 10.1 release and like the enterprise desktop or the enterprise server release that we come out with?
Okay, if you compare the consumer products like SUSE Linux and the enterprise products like the enterprise server and the enterprise desktop, there are many different things. One, for example, is the release cycle on the enterprise products is much longer. For the box, we have a release cycle of 6 months, and now we make it a little bit longer, to 8 months, and for the enterprise products, we have usually a release cycle from 18 up to 24 months. So you don't have to update every 6 months when you have an enterprise server. There are several other differences. For example, we provide security updates for the consumer version up to 2 years after the release, and for the enterprise product up to 7 years. This is very important for the enterprise customer because the enterprise customer don't want to update every 2 years the distribution. So we have a much, much longer lifetime in the enterprise products to make sure that you install it and you don't have to care. You don't have to care where I can get my security updates. You can get it all from SUSE. So this is the main differences. And of course, we have special support offers for the enterprise products, which we don't have for the box. For the box, we have a basic installation support. So if you have problems with the installation, you can call us, go to the web page, or send us an email, and we will help you through the installation. But we don't support server services, for example, for the box. So if you are a professional, if you want to run servers, then you need the enterprise product if you want support.
So the straight SUSE Linux release is much fresher code, it turns around every 6 to 8 months, and it's got a much shorter support life, correct?
Exactly. So for the normal user, for the desktop user, 2 years is pretty long, so they don't need, and they can update for free.
Yeah, and the desktop or home user is much more interested in having fresh code, where the enterprise people are more concerned about security and longevity and not having to touch that workstation every 6 months to update its applications.
Exactly. On the server, you have a more or less static set of hardware. So you don't have every 2 months a new printer or a new scanner. And of course, you need drivers for that. And so it's very important that you update your desktop distribution more often than enterprise distribution.
So if I'm a developer, are there advantages for me taking a look at this SUSE Linux distro?
Yeah, we have a common code base. That means all products coming out now, the enterprise products, based on 10.1. So if you want to write applications and you're not part of the beta program for the enterprise products, you can use 10.1 because the libraries are the same, most programs are the same. So you can try out your programs with a consumer distribution, and they should run also on the enterprise distribution then. And of course, every development tool is included. So whatever you need, if you need C, Java, Ruby, Perl, everything is included.
So if I'm a developer and I'm writing an application that's geared towards the enterprise, this gives me the ability to actually test and run my application on the base SUSE Linux operating system even before the next release of the enterprise desktop. And that way I can guarantee my app runs properly, right?
Exactly. So it's a very nice switch when the enterprise server come out, it's the middle of the year, I guess, and then you can just port your application, just copy it to the enterprise server, and it's there, and it should run.
Okay, great. So I've got a question for you. Every time I talk to somebody from SUSE, guaranteed within a couple minutes of starting a conversation, they always start to talk about this thing called auto build and how incredibly cool it is and how it really differentiates us from some of the other distros. Can you just give me a quick idea of what auto build is and why that's important to me?
Okay, the auto build is a build system where we build the packages and the distribution, and this is very important for us. We have the common code base, so we have code 10 at the moment, what you call it internally, and from the code 10 base, we can build enterprise server, enterprise desktop, and the SUSE box, the consumer version. We can build it all with the auto build system. So what is the nice thing about the auto build system? For example, you have many programs which are depending on the library C, so libc. So if you change something in this library, every program has to be rebuilt to make sure it will run proper on the distribution. So now you check in your new package, it will depend on this and this library, and the auto build take care that every library you need, every other program you need will be rebuilt, so it will run very smooth on the distribution. And one nice thing which we offer now for external people, because auto build is a SUSE internal tool, what we now offer is a build server. And on the build server, you can do basically the same. You can check in with the web interface, your package, your source code, build the packages, and when something changes in the distribution, your package will be automatically rebuilt. So you don't have to take care, oh, a new distribution comes out from SUSE, I have to take care of my package, I have to rebuild it. We do it automatically.
So let me make sure that I understand that. So if I'm a developer, what I can do is I can take my source code, I can upload it to your auto build servers, and then it tracks dependencies and anything, and anytime a module that I'm dependent on, whenever it gets rebuilt, my application will automatically get rebuilt?
Exactly. And the nice thing is also we don't not only build packages for SUSE, we build also for other distributions. So the goal is we have really one central place for all developers who want to build a package, not depending on the distribution. They just click it, upload the file, upload the source, and then we will build the package.
Does it also build it for other platforms?
At the moment, not, but we are working on it to support all the platforms we have, of course, yes.
And speaking of platforms, what platforms do we support?
So we have the box version. The box version is for, let's say, standard desktop computers, means 32-bit, but we also have a 64-bit version included. That means AMD 64 and Intel EM64T. Basically, every new processor you buy is 64-bit capable. And so the nice thing is we were the first distribution supporting 64-bit, I guess, since 2 years or 2.5 years. And so this is really a nice distribution in 64-bit. You don't see the difference between 32 and 64-bit when you install it. But, of course, you will see the difference in the speed. So we have another distribution which is not available as a consumer product. You have to download it as a PPC. So if you have an old Mac, you can start SUSE Linux also on a PPC. And the enterprise products, we have more architectures. We have Z-Series, PowerPC 64-bit, and Intel Architecture 64.
Now, I know a lot of new machines are coming with these dual-core processors, and I know dual-cores really just appear as two separate processors within the box. I assume that you guys can really take advantage of having multiple processors?
Yeah, sure. We always supported multiprocessing, and the same thing with the new processors is not a problem. And the nice thing about Linux is most programs also support the multi-core. So that means if you install it on another operating system, it's multi-core. You don't gain so much speed in Linux because every process can run on every processor. It's much different. So you really, really feel the speed.
Was there any specific theme for this release, or was this just a general 8 months has been up, let's package all the new development that's been going on and come up with a new release?
Yeah, this is hard to say. We always focus on things like easy installation. We always try to make a big package with every software is included. That means you don't have to download from various places software. Everything's included, whatever you want, development, server, ICQ, and web everything is included. So with this package you can do everything, and I guess you don't have to download much software because it's really everything. We try to make a package for the average desktop user, so we have a very nice desktop, of course, but we also have very development tools, we have all the server tools, so everything is really included. So it's not a special theme, this is our theme since years. Make it easy in the installation, try to make it convenient for the user that you don't have to download packages, so make it easy as possible. And of course, we have some topics that are very important for us, mobile computing and security.
Now, you mentioned about downloading packages. Can you describe how SUSE Linux has the ability to automatically update itself when new security patches come out, or, you know, an update to one of those libraries?
Yeah, we have a small little icon in the taskbar, and it will show you if an online update is available. So it will check automatically the server, and it will show how there's an online update available. And when you click on it, you will see it's a security update, or maybe it's just a bug fix. And then you click on the package, and it will download and install it out of the box. So you don't have to take care, go to a web page, register there. It's very easy.
Or I don't need to remember to run an application. There's always something running in the background to make sure that I've got the latest security fixes.
Exactly. And you can also make it fully automatic so that you don't even have to click on the packages you want to install. It will install, for example, all security updates, which is a smart move, of course. So you don't have to click every day on the icon to see if there are updates available.
But of course, that's configurable, so I can choose.
Of course, yes.
Okay. Other things in the release, is XGL supported?
Yeah, the most important feature, maybe. Everybody likes XGL. It's not enabled by default because it's a pretty young project, but it's included and it runs very well. And the setup is quite easy. So we had made a special page on the OpenSUSE.org wiki. When you go there, you find a page, just search for XGL and you find the page, and it's also very well described how to configure it in SUSE Linux. And basically, you have to change one line in a config file and call another configuration after it started. That's all.
Cool. How about support for MP3s?
MP3 support is out of the box included. We have various programs to play MP3, for example, Banshee, it's a GNOME program. We have Amarok, it's a KDE program, and we have RealPlayer. So we can also play streams directly from the internet. And Amarok is my favorite program on the distribution. This is really nice. This is not an MP3 player. You can do various things with it. For example, I can connect my iPod directly and copy files from the iPod or to the iPod. Other nice things, it has a direct connection to the Wikipedia. Wikipedia is a big database. And for example, if I play a song from Green Day, for example, it will automatically load the page for Green Day for Wikipedia, and you see the band history, the members, and I also can click on the lyrics and it will show me the lyrics directly. So it's not a basic MP3 player, it's a whole MP3 or music suite.
Yeah, nicely enhanced, tied together with several different things and actually using technology.
Exactly, and I never saw an MP3 player or music program which has so many functions like Amarok. This is really, really nice.
How about support for podcasts?
Yeah, podcast is also included. We have also for some streams already bookmarks in it, so it's very easy to use it.
Oh, great. How about support for handhelds like Palm or WinCE devices?
We support Palm devices for a long time, so it's pretty easy, and it's directly integrated in all the applications. For example, if I use KDE, then it will go directly to my address book or my calendar, so I really can sync all my dates, my addresses, and stuff like this with the computer. And for WinCE, we have also programs included, yes.
Oh, great. Now, how about for laptop users? I know most of us at this point pretty much live on our laptops. good support for laptops?
Yeah. So I have to say, even I work for SUSE, okay, but SUSE Linux is a distribution for laptop users, no question about that. So we always focus really on to make it run on laptops, to use all the power save modes which are available, to use the external VGA output. For example, if you want to connect a monitor or have your presentation, you need that. So we make it very easy for the user.
Oh, you mean like dual head display, so that I can see what's on my laptop and be projecting at the same time?
Exactly. This is very important if you're on the road and come to another town and make a presentation and you don't want to configure your graphics environment every time you go there. So it's work out of the box, so very easy.
What about support for wireless on those laptops and also things like Bluetooth?
It's everything is included, and the nice thing about the new release, about the 10.1, we have a new tool called the Network Manager, and in KDE it's called K-Network Manager, which is pretty easy. You just click on an icon, and it will scan all available networks, and you just have to click on the network, and you are connected. Of course, if the network is encrypted, you have to enter your key, but that's all. And if you come back later and it reminds you that the network is there and you just click on it and you're connected. So this is pretty easy, especially if compared with how we made it before 10.1. So you have to call the root password, you have to start the configuration tool, you have to configure the interface and stuff like this. So this is not that easy. So, but with the new version, it's quite easy. And we also have support for Bluetooth. We have a configuration module in our graphical configuration tool, Yast. So you can easily configure Bluetooth, and it's also integrated in the desktop. For example, I can use my mobile phone to move the mouse cursor directly with the mobile phone. This is pretty nice if you make a presentation, or you can switch the pages in a presentation. And I can also do this with my telephone.
That's cool. I've never seen anybody control their PC from a Bluetooth phone before. How about security updates? Anything to secure the machines?
Okay, for security we have a special tool included called AppArmor 2.0, which is actually from Novell. And the nice thing about AppArmor is that you can put your applications in a jail. A jail means you can say, okay, this application can only access this file, this application can write into this directory, but not that directory. So even if you have an exploit for your web server, for example, it's not possible to break out of this jail. So this is a great feature for security. And what we do is we include already profiles for some programs accessing the internet. So if you use, for example, Firefox or other programs directly connected to the internet, even if there's a problem with the program, it's not possible to exploit it.
Oh, cool. So rather than just having a firewall controlling what traffic can go through, it really kind of looks at how the application and how the machine is behaving and then says this is the typical behavior of that machine or application and locks it down to just do that?
Exactly. So you can really say this program is not allowed to write into this directory, for example. And when somebody hack your server, you will see it. You have a log file, you can see it. And of course, you also have a firewall, which is enabled by default, by the way. So if you install your computer, it's not possible to break into the computer because everything is secure, everything is shut down to the outside. So I heard of other operating systems that need 7 minutes to get infected when you don't have a firewall. So we have a firewall installed, enabled by default, so we are secure on this side.
Oh, that's great. How about other desktop applications that I might need? Things like OpenOffice.
Of course, OpenOffice is included, and it's very important. And the nice thing about the new version we have included, it's the final version of 2.0, is we support Visual Basic macros.
Oh, great. So if somebody gives me a spreadsheet or a document from Microsoft Office that has embedded macros, those will actually be able to run.
Exactly. This was a big problem for some customers. They said, OpenOffice is nice, I use it every day, but sometimes I have an Excel sheet with some macros and it's not working, so I have to switch to another program back. So now it's possible to use OpenOffice also with macro scripts, yes.
Okay. How about on the server side? I've read quite a bit about the Zen project lately, the virtualization of machines. Is the current version included?
Yeah, we have the 3.0 included, but what is more important than this is we have for the first time a real configuration tool in Yast included. So that means even the average user can install a virtual machine in 5 minutes. So this was not possible before because you have to know the command line, you have to know how to start and stop the machine, you have to know how to install it, and now it's really, really quite easy.
So it's easy for someone without a lot of experience to go create these multiple virtual machines on their box.
Exactly. So basically you have to click on the next button and install a virtual machine. And the nice thing about Xen is it's very, very fast compared to other virtual machines. And you can do also some nice tricks. For example, if you have new hardware, you can also install other operating systems which are not open source in it. And you can directly support hardware in your virtual machine, which is not possible with any other technique I know. So Xen is really, really nice. And I was last week on the Linux Day. It's a big exhibition in Germany about Linux. And the most important stuff for the people were Xen and XGL.
Did I hear you mention that you can run other operating systems besides just Linux within those virtual machines?
Yes. So the thing is, if you have, it depends on the processor. If you have a normal processor, let's say it this way, you can install only open source operating systems. Means Linux, BSD, I guess NetWare is also working now. And if you have a special processor, which is not common at the moment, you can install operating system of your choice, no matter if it's open source or closed source.
Did you say a special processor?
Yeah, the new processor is coming out now with a technology called VT. Intel processor called it Vanderpool, and AMD called it Pacifica. And with this processor, it's quite easy, and it's very fast to install operating systems which are not open source.
Outside of everything we've covered, are there any other really cool things in this release that you'd like to tell us about?
Well, it's hard to say because we have so much software included, so much things included. Maybe about the desktop. So many people are afraid that Linux is a command line, the old DOS prompt. And of course, we have a complete desktop system included. And we have two main desktops included, for example, KDE and GNOME. And all those desktop systems, you have email programs, graphical, of course, you have browsers, you have chat programs, you have everything included. So very important that in the box in SUSE Linux 10.1, you have really everything for everybody.
So there's a large variety of stuff. Depending on whether I'm a basic user or an advanced user, there's a huge plethora of applications for me to choose from, right?
Yeah, this is very important for us. So we don't have a special target audience. Everybody can use it. If you just want to use it as a desktop system, no problem, everything is included. If you want to develop programs, no problem, everything is included. If you run it as a server, no problem, everything is included.
And I assume that you have some of the really cool cutting-edge stuff, especially since you already support things like XGL. Do you guys have support for stuff like Beagle?
Beagle, yes, it's a desktop search machine. And it's very nice because you cannot find. Usually you have your files on your computer in a directory and you don't remember which directory. And with Beagle, it will scan to all directories and scan, for example, for OpenOffice documents, for PDF files, for text files, of course, for web browser sessions, for chats, for mails, and stuff like this. So it's very easy to find files again. For example, I sent you an email a few hours ago and I cannot find it anymore. But I know I said Xen, for example, and I just go to Beagle, search for Xen, and it will find it. Very nice. I just click on the icon and I have it in my email program.
Yeah, I've actually been using this on my desktop lately, and I've been surprised by how often I use it. What I found is with all the different ways that we're getting information now through email, through, you know, podcasts, through reading on the web, all the time people ask me, well, where did you hear that piece of information? And I can't remember whether it was through reading it on a website or an email or what have you, or a document that somebody sent me. And I've just been shocked by how many times that's really saved me as of late.
Yeah, this is a totally different way how to find documents. Because it's searched inside the document. This is really, really nice. So we cannot compare to other find files utilities or whatever you have. So this is really a total new desktop search thing. And it's really, really nice included. It's in KDE. We have a special program called Carry. And it's nice integrated in all the KDE stuff. So I don't want to live without Beagle anymore.
I agree with you there. One more final question, and that has to do with open source. Whenever we talk to anybody who's running an open source project, there's a couple things we like to ask them. First, how do I get involved? Where do I go to get more information and so I can contribute?
Okay, we have the OpenSUSE web page. It's called opensuse.org, and there you find everything what you need. So we have a special page called Participate, and we have mailing lists. The whole system, the whole web page is a wiki system. That means everybody can edit if you want. You can add articles, you can write, or you can correct other articles. So this is really nice to work on the project. And what we have a little bit later is the build service. When it's fully running, then you can also participate there.
Oh, great. And the follow-up question to that is, we always like to know, since you are an open source project, where do you need help? What can the general public, the general community do to help you guys out to make this project even better?
Well, the nice thing about such a big project is it's not depending on your skills. We have really stuff to do for everybody. For example, we like to translate the wiki in other languages. We have German, English, French, Spanish, and some other languages right now. So if you are capable of translating the page, this would be really, really great, because we can only speak one or two languages here. So this would help us a lot. And also other things, for example, write an SDB article. You found a problem with the distribution, or you think you can do it easier, just write a support database article.
And also, I imagine you guys can always use support on your documentation, because all SUSE doc is up on a wiki, correct?
Exactly. We have all documentation which is included in the box in the consumer product is available for download. You can edit it. We have a special mailing list, opensuse-doc. We can talk with people directly from SUSE. So if you think you can improve the documentation, if you think there's something missing, we can work with this together.
Yeah, I always love that when documentation is posted up on a wiki, because that way when I'm going through it and I'm confused about something and I finally figure out how to do it right, I can just update the wiki page so that no one else has to feel the pain that I did.
Exactly. And this is also the nice thing. It's a big community. You have one web page. Everybody gather on the web page. And this is incredible. When we started the project, the OpenSUSE project, we had in 1 week, we had 100 pages, and we had several sub-projects. So the community is really incredible.
That's great. And me as a non-developer, I can actually help out and make the project better.
Exactly. But of course, also for the developers, we have several stuff to do. So check the programs, participate in the beta test, for example, write programs for the distribution. So there's a lot of stuff to do for everybody.
Okay. Well, hey, Martin, thanks a lot for taking time to chat with us today.
No problem.
And I look forward to downloading and playing with the release.
So today is release day, so download it, try it out. And the most important thing, have a lot of fun.
I always do. Thanks, Martin. Take care.
See ya. Bye.
That concludes our coverage of the release of SUSE Linux 10.1. You can get this again at opensuse.org, and there's a couple of links to look for on the show notes for this edition of Novell Open Audio. You can find those at www.novell.com/openaudio. Remember that the content of Novell Open Audio is in part determined by our listening audience. You can leave us an email at openaudio@novell.com, and you can also find a phone number to reach us at on the Novell Open Audio website. Novell Open Audio is a production of Novell Users International in conjunction with Novell. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.